For KFSK News, I'm Angela Denning. Today is Tuesday, May the 11th. A raw fish tax that's pumped tens of millions of dollars into coastal communities has survived a legal challenge before Alaska's highest court. The state can tax seafood caught in federal waters, then loaded on a bulk carrier at the dock for foreign export without violating provisions of the U.S. Constitution. That's according to the Alaska Supreme Court, which released its 31-page ruling on Friday. Fisherman's Finest, a large Washington state seafood company that operates factory trawlers and exports most of its product overseas, had challenged Alaska's tax in court. It argued that there are protections against state taxation on shipping in coastal state waters, and a lower court agreed. But the justices, writing in a unanimous opinion, found that the fees assessed on Fisherman's Finest products are not opportunistic taxations of vessels that pass through Alaska waters without benefiting from local services. At stake was more than $40 million in revenue, half of which goes to the state and the other half goes to coastal communities. In the Aleutians, the case was watched with interest as taxes on the lucrative pollock fishery is a major economic driver. On Alaska's Deputy Mayor Dennis Robinson says the raw fish tax is a major source of the city's municipal revenue, and local officials had been anxious about the impact of a decision against them.
I'm pretty relieved of that, because that is roughly 17% of our budget, and it would be devastating for this community.
The fisheries resource landing tax has existed since the 1990s and is designed to capture revenue for raw seafood that's landed on Alaska port docks before it's transshipped on cargo vessels and sold overseas. The Petersburg School Board is meeting this evening to go over budget revisions for this school year. They'll also be going over timelines for a return-to-school Smart Start plan for next year. The state's Department of Education is directing school districts to have their updated Smart Start plans announced to the public by June the 23rd. It's tied to federal funding through the American Rescue Plan Act. The plan must include details of how the district will safely return to in-person schooling in the fall. The school board will also hear about new hires at the district, as well as new positions for existing staff. Superintendent Erica Kluphander says they'll have a few less teachers in the elementary school than this year, but still more than in recent years, though they will drop from 17 regular teachers down to 14.
We are retaining some of the positions that we added this year, just knowing that there will still be some protocols in place this fall for, you know, class sizes and trying to be aware of COVID protocols and what that will look like.
New teacher hires for the fall include Samantha Marifern for swim and PE, Debbie Eddy for first grade, Laura Allison for first grade, Ethan Briner for second grade, Jamie Eddy for fourth grade, Amy Wilkes for a combined fourth and fifth grade, and Casey Gates for sixth grade. Several teaching positions at the elementary school will be shuffled around. That includes Mary Mintkiff moving from second to third grade, Becky Martin moving from second to third grade, Greg Kowalski moving from fourth to fifth grade, Michelle Brock moving from first to second grade, Stephanie Powick moving from third grade to a fourth through sixth grade interventionist, and Eliza Wormack moving from first grade to a K through three reading specialist and working in the Title I and English Language Learner programs. Also at the school board meeting tonight, board members will be going over the board policy for professional boundaries of staff with students, which are recommendations by the state. The board will also be reconsidering its return-to-school travel protocols, as it does at every regular meeting. The regular school board meets at 6 p.m. via Ring Central video conferencing. KFSK will be broadcasting the meeting live. You can stream it online at kfsk.org. The public can participate in the meeting during comments from the audience. Email the district office before the meeting to get the password for the video conference. Those email addresses are exec@pcsd.us or supt@pcsd.us. You can also call the district office at 877-526-7656. Also, tune in to KFSK today following the Midday Magazine for Campus Connection, a call-in with school district officials about tonight's meeting. That'll be happening at about 12:30. Petersburg High School's track and field teams continued to set some of the top times and distances in the region last weekend. The teams competed against Haynes, Juneau Douglas, Sitka, and host Thunder Mountain at the Capital City Invite last Friday and Saturday in Juneau. For the girls, Anya Powick was third in the triple jump and set a personal record or PR. She was also fifth in the discus and sixth in the shot put. For the boys, seniors Aiden Luhr and Julian Kumps were second and fourth in the 100 meters and 200 meters. Elijah Whitaker was sixth in the 400. Luhr also took first in the high jump, with Valen Weathers second place. Brayland Willis was eighth in the 3200. Chase Lister took fifth in the 300 hurdles. And Sean Spiegelmeyer took fourth in the shot put. Rick and Julian Kumps went third and fourth in the long jump. Joe Wicknicki spoke with Coach Tommy Thompson and freshman Anya Powick and Rick Kumps about last week's performance.
How did it go?
The kids did great. We had some fantastic performances. We had I have a sheet here with all the PRs on it. So we've got PRs from juniors and seniors and freshmen and sophomores. So it was a really nice meet, because every week we're just trying to improve a little bit, and that's only our second time on a track. And so, like, we had PRs from seniors like Julian Kumps, who went 11.97 in the 100 meters, and PR from sophomore Alexis in the 100 meters as well. PR from Chase in the 300-meter hurdles, which he hadn't run for a couple of years, and we asked him to do it, and he jumped in and did a really nice job getting a PR there. A couple of folks who hadn't run this year or hadn't done anything this year because they hadn't been on the team yet, like Sean Spiegelmeyer, he had PRs in all of his events, but he also finished fourth overall in the shot put and did a really nice job in the discus and did some long jump for us. Anya, who hopefully we'll get to talk to here a little bit, she had a really good meet. She finished...
It looked like it was a PR in triple jump. Is that right, Anya?
Yeah.
How did that compare to the week before or last week's one?
I think I beat it by about a foot. I think I got about 26 in Ketchikan, 27 in Juneau. So.
Oh, okay. Do you have more room to grow there, or is it?
Yeah, I just got to keep practicing at it, and I'm sure I'll beat it again.
Okay.
She did a really good job. We run on that plywood planking here and into a pit, and she's still getting her steps down, but she'd be at full speed and then hold up a little bit. But we're going to get a couple more feet out of her in the next couple weeks. And so she did really well. And then she had a really good, she threw the disc 58 feet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she did well in the shot put, too. So, you know, boys and girls both did great. And then we have Rick here today, too, and I brought him because he had a really good long jump.
I saw he beat Big Brother.
He did beat Big Brother. Maybe we should have brought Big Brother here so he could discuss that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's lots of discussions at home. Elijah, Braylon Willis had a great weekend too. I asked him kind of do all kinds of long distance stuff, and I'm trying to get him. But we asked him to run a 12:20 in the 3200, and he paced it the same way, and he beat that time by 14 seconds. So he had a PR in the 3200, he had a PR in the 1600, and he had a PR in another event here there too. But Braylon, another freshman, just did a great job. We've got a really great group of freshman kids on both sides, and so it was exciting. All the results, I guess, were posted, but fantastic. And then the other sheet I have here is just our rankings in Southeast. We've got, you know, Aiden and Julian doing so great as we expect as seniors, but now in the shot put, Sean's in third overall in Southeast. Valen is second third overall in high jump, and Rick here is fourth. And Rick is, and right now he's the number one long jumper in Southeast for the 1A, 2A, 3A. So it's really fun to see. Tiny team, but they're doing some really good things for the numbers that we have.
Great. And snow aside, Anya, what's it like to go to a real track and run on a real pit, run and jump on a real pit and real area compared to Petersburg's?
It's a lot better, and you can kind of treat it like practice because you can warm up a couple times. So that's how I learned pretty much for shot and discus, is just practicing when I was at the meet.
Cool. Any other thoughts on this past weekend and how they went, or where you're positioning yourself for the rest of the season?
I think I'm doing decent in my progress, and I think I just need to keep practicing, and I'll do my best at regions.
Cool. Rick, what were your thoughts on the meet in Thunder Mountain?
I think it was good. I didn't think I was going to long jump that well. our long jump pit's not very nice, so I just got there, and yeah, I did a lot better than I thought.
Is that a lot better, longer distance than you've normally put down? Or?
Yeah, I think I PR'd by like a foot and a half from Ketchikan, so I was happy with myself.
Okay, and you have some space to grow there too, or you think?
Yeah, I was rewatching videos, and I could have gotten an extra foot every time. Just got to work on my form.
And what are you also competing in other events?
The 200, 4x100 relay. And I did high jump this last week.
Yeah, other thoughts about the rest of the season for you?
Yeah, I think I'm really focused on long jump. I think I can place pretty high in that regions. And if not, I'm just a freshman, so just focus on training for the next few years.
Cool. And any other standout surprise performances from your teammates? Things that shocked?
I think Elijah did really well. He ran the 400 for the first time ever, and I think he's like second or third in our region right now for it. And so, yeah, it was his first time running it, and he was kind of scared, but I think he did really good.
Next week's meet is virtual before the regional competition back at Thunder Mountain in Juneau. House lawmakers have added money to the budget to reopen the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's office in Wrangell that's been closed since last year. But as Sage Smiley reports from Wrangell, it's uncertain whether the funds would be vetoed again by the governor.
People hunting and fishing in and around Wrangell either have to access Fish and Game services online or make trips by boat or plane off the island to Petersburg, about 50 miles away. Wrangell's Fish and Game office closed in July of last year. But earlier this month, Alaska's House approved a budget that includes the $66,000 it costs to run and staff a state Fish and Game office in Wrangell. Ketchikan Independent Representative Dan Ortez sits on the subcommittee that initially approved restoring the funding. He says it's unreasonable to ask hunters and fishermen to travel off the island for permits and services.
I heard loud and clear that trying to obtain a tag for moose after a successful hunt on Stikine, you know, that's become now requires a trip to Petersburg.
When Wrangell's office closed in 2020, one employee was relocated to Petersburg. The other, Kim Fisher, was laid off. She says whenever she's around town or down at one of the harbors, she gets into conversations with Wrangellites she used to serve when she worked at Fish and Game. She says some complain about the hassle of trips to Petersburg, but some are hurt by the lack of in-person access in other ways.
There are still people, maybe just in Alaska, maybe just in Southeast, that don't have a computer. A lot of people don't have a printer because they only have a phone for their connection to the world, so they can't even print to get their permits that are required by the law.
Wrangell's Fish and Game Advisory Committee opposed the closure. Committee Chair Chris Guggenbickler says he believes it's a bit hypocritical of the state to ask hunters and fishermen to comply with strict regulations and then make it hard to follow the rules.
For the state to put a requirement on that you've got to, you know, have this bear or this wolf sealed within a certain timeline and then not really be accessible. And then, you know, to be able to do that, you know, the hindrance on the hunter to go to another community at a time when nobody really wants you traveling back and forth to another community. I mean, it's really, yeah, it's just not right.
Guggenbickler says the U.S. Forest Service in Wrangell stepped up to take some moose racks last year. But he says he doesn't see it as much of a savings if the state ends up making a federal agency fill its shoes. Representative Ortez says he's optimistic that the nearly $70,000 in funding to restore Wrangell's Fish and Game office will make it through the Senate. But even if that happens, its success isn't assured. That's because lawmakers added the money in last year, only to have it vetoed back out by Governor Dunleavy's red pen. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
And for KFSK News, I'm Angela Denning.